Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Haw, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
The person that has been inflicted the most in this process is Melissa. And what I want to say to everyone here today and also to her is that I want to own those actions. And I am sorry I am sorry for the hurt that I have caused Melissa and the pain that I put her through. And I am trying my best efforts to become a better person.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. This Monday morning, Zach Zaidman is in for Mully. And that was the voice of Addison Russell Friday in Mesa when he reported to Cubs camp and faced the media. Well, he reported much earlier than that. He's been there for a couple days, taking infield and batting practice and looking like players just planning for the season, getting ready like everybody else, and he's not like everybody else. And he faced the media, answered some difficult questions. And Zach, I felt like that was, as we discussed during the 5 at 5, felt pretty perfunctory. It felt like it was checking a box. I think it was a product of just his nerves, maybe some anxiety. You have a guy that's not as skilled in front of the microphone as some people who have, you know, kind of preceded him there. Certainly you can't compare him to Theo Epstein. There was eloquence that maybe was missing. There was sincerity that maybe people felt was lacking. And yet, to me, if he didn't win the press conference, he didn't lose it either. And he did just enough for the Cubs to be satisfied that he was making progress.
How do you ever win a press conference when you've been suspended for violating Major League Baseball's domestic abuse policies? That's one way to phrase it. The other thing is, how do you ever win a press conference when you read what
he's accused of doing?
What he's accused of doing.
Which he admitted doing.
Correct.
Would you say he's an admitted domestic abuser after Friday?
Yes. So he's owned up to it.
Right.
He has said that he is taking all the steps that you can possibly take in order to try and, quote, make things right.
Right.
You're not going to take someone who wasn't an eloquent speaker before all of this and all of a sudden turn him into an eloquent speaker. You're not going to take someone who seemed robotic and didn't really show his emotions publicly prior to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, would you have felt better if he was a guy who broke down and started tearing up and crying during that moment?
You might have.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But you still don't feel better about what he did, and it doesn't mean that he's a guy that has changed. You don't know.
That's the big factor. Nobody was going to know, no matter what he said or how he said it, if he indeed had changed. And I think that's interesting. There's two elements to me that came out of Friday. And let me know what you think. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. Did you hear sincerity in Addison Russell's voice? Did you hear what you needed to hear as a Cub fan to move forward and beyond this? Zach, I think it's easy to be critical of the questions when you're not in the room and you weren't asking them. And certainly we have both been in those rooms and under those circumstances. I heard Dan McNeil, who I have a ton of respect for, be very critical of the press conference questioning on Friday, right afterward. And I think that he made some really good points about the questions that weren't asked. And certainly those crossed my mind. I wish he would have been asked about his involvement with alcohol. I think the alcohol may have led to some of this. And even if he would have said nothing, how he answered it would have been telling. That said, it's a very uncomfortable setting. It's a very awkward situation. I don't know the context of how the questions were distributed or what, you know, how there's a lot of things that we don't know about it. What I wanted to hear more of maybe had to do with the answers. And I think what you said, I wanted to hear maybe a little bit more sincerity.
What you're looking for is a guy to connect with the
audience. Connection.
Right?
Yeah.
When Theo Epstein talks, there always appears to be a connection with the people that are listening and watching him. And that's because he's able to tap into the way you feel. He understands your emotions as a Cub fan. And when he talks, he's able to perfectly verbalize exactly how you feel. So he hits those notes and it's genuine. I think that that's what you're looking for when Tom Ricketts meets the media today. The ability, like he does when he greets fans at Wrigley Field, where he's out in the open and he's not afraid. He doesn't hide. He's out there. You want him to have that kind of connection when he talks about many of the issues off the field with his dad, with the new network, all that kind of stuff. You want a connection. You didn't feel like you got a connection with Addison Russell when he spoke the other day. But this is very different from the standpoint that it's fair to ask, why is this guy still on my team? Right? I think that's a fair and if you don't want
but
him,
that's not for him to answer. He's not going to give you an answer that's satisfactory, even if he was asked that. What are you still doing here? Well, what he's going to say is not going to satisfy anybody. He's trying to make a living.
So right. So now that you're here, if you ask him, why did you do those awful things that you said you did? Well, in his robotic way, he's telling you that he's trying to get help to make sure that that never happens again.
What did you think of the way Joe Maddon handled or spoke about Addison Russell's performance? Because Joe Maddon afterward was very positive in saying that, you know, this is something that he was proud of Addison Russell, I think is the way he put it. And he thought that he came out of it very well. And he was very supportive in a way that maybe he saw things we didn't see. And I think that you understand why. He's his manager. He's a front man for the organization. He's a chief spokesperson when on things like this. He also knows him in a way that we'll never know. So I wonder, though, if he rubbed some people the wrong way, being as positive as he was about a performance by Russell that was as dissatisfying or unsatisfying as to many people.
See, and here's the part that makes this so complicated. Because Joe Maddon is paid to win games. That is his chief responsibility. His responsibility isn't to make you feel good about his comments when it comes to a situation that, quote, isn't clean, right? His job is to win games. If Joe Maddon doesn't win games, you don't want him around. He won 95 games last year, and there are people who feel that's not good enough. He shouldn't be here anymore. Think about that, right?
Right.
95 games. Okay. That wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So the only thing that he's worried about right now is to make sure that he can get the most out of Addison Russell, the baseball player, as he takes care of everything he's got to take care of off the field to make sure that his life is right and that he doesn't do what he said he did any longer.
Texter 312 says, as I listened to the press conference on Friday, I am a woman and a Cubs fan. The thing that struck me as very odd was he never mentioned the harm he may have caused his son. My blood boiled. He not only harmed Melissa, he harmed his son. I wonder if he grew up in an abusive household. Bad, bad press conference. That's one of those questions I think that, you know, it's hard to ask the effects. How do you feel about what you did, may have done to your son or your daughter or your children in general? I mean, those are one of the things that probably do cross your mind in retrospect. I don't know that I would have asked about his children if I were there.
And I don't know necessarily that he would want to talk about his children in a public setting that way.
Probably not. 312-644-6767. We will get your phone calls about Addison Russell, about Tom Ricketts, about the Cubs. We have Zach Zabin in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
He continues to do what he's doing right now, obviously. Everything's headed in the right direction within the group itself. A lot of it's going to depend on him and his interaction with the group and how the boys react to him. And a lot of that's going to come through conversation and interaction. So he's got an opportunity today to talk to you guys straight up about what had happened and how he feels about it. But again, with us, we're still mindful that there's a lot of and the way Theo relates it to innings played. We're still early in the ball game right now. We're trying to work our way through it.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was the voice of Joe Maddon speaking about Addison Russell's press conference on Friday. Zach Zabin in today for Molly. And Zach, we heard Joe Maddon refer to Theo's kind of analogy to the innings. And I think that before the press conference, we were in the bottom of the second as far as Addison Russell is concerned. Where are we now?
I don't know. I have a better answer for you after I get down there. But
when are you going?
I'm going Thursday, and
you got a busy week.
Yeah, we'll be. I've got the Creighton game with DePaul on Wednesday night.
Oh yeah,
then Thursday head to Arizona for spring training. We've got games on the Score Saturday and Sunday, so I'll be on the radio with Len and Coom, and we'll have some fun as spring training gets underway. I was reminiscing with Tom Thayer yesterday about how last weekend, this past weekend that ended yesterday for me, it's the last time I'm baseball free for a very long time.
Do you dread that, or does that, you say
fun.
That with excitement?
It's fun. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to do what I do for a, quote, living? Come on. It's
so
great.
So you're not worried about the 50-degree temperatures in Arizona this
I know
week,
certain,
right?
I will tell you that there were certain members of the broadcast team that texted me yesterday worried about the freeze alert in the greater Phoenix area.
You're making Coom sound soft now.
No, Coom is not.
Okay.
Look, Coom was trained all those years in Minnesota, man, he's going to be in a tank top and shorts in 50-degree weather in Phoenix.
312-644-6767. Talking about Addison Russell and the Cubs, and did you hear what you needed to hear from him on Friday? But let's go to Joe in Glenview. Good morning, Joe. You're on the Score.
Good morning. I have to say, yes, I did hear what I needed to hear, but I have a little different take. I think to expect anything more from him, given he's not an accomplished extemporaneous speaker, would be, I think it's a little bit much. The key is he has obviously a divorce decree with his wife, so he'll have to do everything that stipulates. And I think his responsibility now is to the team to be the best shortstop he can be, granted, given that we don't have a viable replacement. That's an important consideration. Plus, he owes it, more importantly, to be the best father he can be to his children in the future. He can't undo what he's done. What's important is what he does in the future. So hopefully he takes heed of this situation and improves and becomes the best person he truly can be.
Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate and I'm hopeful that'll happen.
Thanks for the phone call. I think he's on the right track. He definitely is giving him the benefit of the doubt, and he's hoping for the best for a guy that sounded like, listen, he's there for a reason. That's because he can play shortstop, because the Cubs expect him to return to form at some point. That performance buys you a lot of things in professional sports, and I think it's buying Addison Russell another chance.
Right, and that's the only reason. In a performance-oriented industry, and I thought that the points that were made were right. If Daniel Descalzo is performing at an all-star level at second base this season, and Javier Baez continues to improve after that great year last year from an offensive standpoint, and he's playing short, well, then Addison Russell's return doesn't mean as much, because you're getting the kind of production in a performance-oriented business that you need in order to win. And the Cubs are in the business of trying to win games.
But saying that and accepting that, it sort of minimizes what Theo Epstein said about the social responsibility and obligation the team feels to help him recover.
Absolutely.
Because this happened on their watch.
Now, what I don't know, and the reason I answered the question I did earlier when you asked me, where are we with this thing? And I said, I don't know. How do we know that Russell's league-mandated treatment and the participation in voluntary counseling, his ability to identify his feelings and emotions, learning how to handle the adversity and the challenges and deal with all of that kind of stuff, how do we know that that doesn't impact his ability to be a successful baseball player while he's trying to get his life right and all the effort that is put into that? How do we know that it's not going to impact his ability to play at a high level. And that other stuff that I talked about is much more important than him being a good baseball player. But as a fan, let's not be hypocritical. As a fan, all you really care about most of the time is whether or not he can perform. And that's this is a very complicated thing.
How many games do you think he plays at shortstop this year? Or more to the point, who plays more games at shortstop in 2019, Javi Baez or Addison Russell for the Cubs?
I'm going to say Javier Baez because it is impossible for me to answer. It is impossible for me to answer what kind of player Addison Russell is, number one. Just this is if he's back, if Major League Baseball allows him to return to the field and play. He's had a lot of injuries the last couple of years, and he hasn't been the same player that you saw in 2016.
His suspension is over in May. He's supposed to be back after he finishes the final 28 games of his suspension, correct?
Right, but he still has to do things the right way going forward. I mean, you heard the president of the team say that you're only in the second inning. This is a day-to-day thing. And you have to constantly...
But everything you just said about his performance and the reality of pro sports makes me think that part of what Theo Epstein said is, if not lip service, it's perfunctory as well. I think they have put him on this track to succeed. Friday was part of this process. The process isn't that difficult once you begin it. And I think that the ultimate goal is to get him back on the field if you're the Cubs. And once that happens, is he your everyday shortstop? Or is Javi Baez going to be the guy
You would think that Addison Russell would be your everyday shortstop. What I can't answer is what kind of an impact has all that, is he going to be the same guy mentally? I mean, you know what's going to happen when he goes on the road. You know what's going to happen at home. And how does that impact him? You can say, he's just going to be able to bounce back and be the same old Addison Russell. How do you know? This is life-changing, everything that's happened.
The anxiety that he showed behind the microphone on Friday, you fear could be the anxiety that he shows at the plate or in the field or while he is doing what he is paid to do, and that's be a shortstop or be, hit at the bottom of the order or be a productive player.
But before all of this stuff happened, I think it was during the White Sox series on the South Side last year, before all this stuff happened again, I think he was struggling mightily as a baseball player.
He hasn't been the same player since 2016.
Right?
Yeah,
no doubt about it. And you know what, guys? I also agree with the school of thought that is you don't do anybody any favors by having Russell fail in any of this, right? I mean, it helps everyone, his family, his ex, his children. It helps everyone to move on if he can go through this process, become a better person, make all the steps, as Theo says, and be a better player and a better person. It everyone wins in that scenario. If you just cut him and he goes back to doing whatever he's doing, and somebody else would probably sign him, but you're not really helping anyone in that circumstance. So certainly the best for everybody if he can get back on track.
Espo, great point. The other thing is, and you mentioned this, David, about how this isn't lip service from Theo Epstein and the Cubs organization when every single member of that organization is getting trained in how to deal with stuff like this going forward. That makes you better as a human being, I think, right? So that's where it's not just lip service.
John, Matt, Kevin, and Chris, we'll get to your phone calls, but first, a scoreboard update with Mike Esposito.
I'm learning how to cope with, my feelings and emotions, to handle adversity whenever I face them. Through my process and through my treatment, I feel really confident that this issue should not come up again.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Zach Zaidman in for Mully. That was the voice of Addison Russell Friday at his news conference. We talked about that during the 5 o'clock hour, 5 at 5. We talked about other things, Manny Machado, Colin Kaepernick. Now it's time to hear from you about many other topics. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Matt in River North. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I got two things, one about Addison Russell and one about Manny Machado. First thing about Addison Russell, one thing that no one's ever answered in the media is, what do his teammates think of him? Do they like him? What kind of guy is he? Because they're the ones who know him the best, and they see him at work every day. So are they supporting him besides the lip service that they have to give to the media? What is their opinion of the guy? That's what's important to me. And two, like what Zach said, if Javi Baez plays lights out and you're getting a good production from second base, it kind of makes the point moot. Is he going to be able to handle not starting every day? Because why would they change it up if they get off to a good start? And the thing about Manny Machado, I want to say, there's a scout in the D.C. area I've read somewhere and said, Manny is a pain in the neck to manage. Don't let the smiles fool you. He's very selfish. Good luck. And the Dodgers didn't want him.
There's a lot to be said about that. Why would the Dodgers let go of a guy that young, that talented, if he weren't a bit of a trouble? And yet, Teddy Greenstein had a story over the weekend talking about the Dodgers really saying nice things about Manny, the teammate.
See, that's why I feel like there's been a lot of fishy stuff going on with Major League Baseball this offseason. Because last year you could justify it because we were told that all these teams were gearing up to spend big money on these big superstar free agents this year. And spring training's underway, still waiting for both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado to sign. Something's wrong here.
Might not be waiting much longer if the Padres have their way. They upped the offer, according to reports. $280 million. That's a lot of dough. Answer Matt's question, though, about Addison Russell, the teammate. What do teammates, generally speaking, and I know you can't speak to all of them, but you're there more than I am. You're there more than a lot of people. Given your observations in your first season around the Cubs regularly, how would you describe the way that he's viewed by teammates?
I think, and this is very hard because I saw this with the Bears as well. Think about what it's like when you go to work and you see your coworkers during the time that you're in the office or in the factory, wherever it is that you work.
Mm-hmm.
You see them for 8 hours a day. And if someone asks you, do you really know that person? Mm-hmm. Yes, you know them at the workplace, but you don't know what someone is like when they're at home and what they're like with their family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always important to remember that. So you may think you know the way someone goes about their business at work and the personality that they show, the way they portray themselves at work. And I think when it comes to Addison Russell at the workplace, I think what his teammates see is a guy who's quiet, reserved, isn't a gregarious type of person, but someone who is talented. And then within the framework of the team environment, he's a guy that they believe can help them win when he's right.
So how do you reconcile that with the idea that Joe Maddon has so positive in supporting Addison Russell, the person, even though, as you describe, he may know him more as Addison Russell, the player?
Because I think, again, Joe Maddon is paid to win games, ultimately. And I think he believes that he's dealing with a very talented player. He probably knows things that we don't know. I mean,
he's very young.
I think still
pretty young. I mean, old enough to know better, but still very young in the baseball context.
Doesn't a good boss know more about you than many of your coworkers?
Good bosses do, yeah.
You know, so right. And I think Joe Maddon has been a successful boss over the course of his Major League Baseball career. And I think one of the reasons that he's been successful is because he's able to have these personal relationships with all of his players.
Ian Happ is a pretty cerebral player, pretty thoughtful player. He was on The Score last month talking about what we're just discussing, what kind of support Addison Russell might have in the clubhouse.
Addison's got a lot of personal stuff to work on before he's back with us, and I think that we're all very aware of that. We're all going to be there to support him if he's taking the proper steps, and that's our job as teammates to welcome him back if in fact he does everything he needs to do to be back on the field with us.
Texter makes a good point, Zach. Baseball is different. These guys are a lot closer. They stay out of town together. They travel together. It's an 8-month season that begins today when the Cubs report as a full team officially. You get to know these guys beyond the 9 innings you're on the field with them.
That's true. But again, that still doesn't mean you know what a guy is like when he's dealing with his family behind closed doors. No one does. Only the family does. Now, we know, obviously, that Addison Russell did some terrible things. Terrible things. Does that make him a terrible person? Does that mean that he can't change as a human being? I mean, these are the things that he's working. Ian Happ just talked about. These are the things that he's working.
And those
through.
Are the questions that Theo Epstein's asking and asked last month when he talked about the obligation the Cubs feel to him as a player and a person.
Now, this is assuming that he's able to change who he is off the field. How much does that impact the type of player he is when it counts on the field? We don't know the answers to these questions. But these are real issues. That's why it's not a simple black and white situation. We live in this world. When we are behind the microphone, you know, you're supposed to answer everything definitively. It's not that easy.
Yes, no, black, white.
Right. This is a very complicated
situation.
A lot
of gray area here. Yeah. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to John in Rockford. John, you're on the score. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the leagues made a settlement offer with him is not admission to any type of collusion. So to make any reference of that is not legally warranted. The league, for obvious reasons, just for the optics of it, want this thing to go away. Now, there's two sides to this story. If Kaepernick truly believes the social warrior that he is, that there was collusion, then take it to trial. But now it all becomes about the money, doesn't it? So he's going to take the offer, which could mean up to $100 million, which is what, $2.5 million per team. And whether he goes in the league, back in the league or not, who knows? But it's not admission of collusion.
John, are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not.
I would say it's not an admission of collusion, but it demonstrates how much the owners wanted to keep discovery out of the public view. They did not want to have their emails exposed to public dissection and inspection. And I think it shows a willingness and maybe a mandate to make this go away at any cost. And that cost happens to be between $60 and $80 million to Colin Kaepernick. Thanks for the phone call.
I don't think generally people are willing to just give you $60 to $80 million reportedly if there's not an issue here.
It's an acknowledgement. Maybe guilt is the wrong word, but it certainly seems like an acknowledgement of responsibility or a collective admission that there were powers in play here that had nothing to do with football. And that's what this was about. Is he a good enough football player to be on my roster? And am I making a football decision based on other things that contribute to the equation? And I think this says the answer unequivocally was yes.
When we look back at this decades from now, when we judge the NFL will not come out looking good at how it handled the Colin Kaepernick situation, because he's on the right side of history. They are not.
And that is what I think this underscores as much as anything. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports is going to talk to us at 7 o'clock just after the update about the column that he wrote that essentially gets into some of these things and how, if it wasn't collusion, I mean, I don't know what you want to call it, but when you see the quality of quarterback that was on the NFL roster last year and you saw Colin Kaepernick not getting a phone call, not getting a tryout, not getting any interest, it tells you what was going on here.
See, all you need to know is how many months did Kareem Hunt not have football in his life before all of a sudden he got religion?
Oh, and it was such a long 2-month period, Zach. It was just 2 months of just torture.
Right.
And he was without a job almost until, you know, free agency.
I don't have a problem with how you think in regards to the stance that Colin Kaepernick takes. And if you think if you agree with him, that's great. If you disagree with him, that's great. But I think we all can agree what Kareem Hunt did was awful. Everyone can agree. And it's on video for everyone to see. And he's back in the league, not even an issue.
Why? Because it's a production-based league for everyone except for those who dared to kneel during the national anthem. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying here, is that Kareem Hunt, there's a different set of standards for a running back that can gain you 1,300 yards and a quarterback who might be able to, you know, move the chains.
But optics of it are terrible from the standpoint that you don't want a guy in your league because he's taking a political stance, but you're willing because a guy can put up some productive numbers at the running back position, where we just saw the Rams sign a guy off the street and play a big role in the Super Bowl for them. At that position, you're telling me that at the quarterback position, which is the hardest position in the NFL, maybe in professional sports, to get right, And here is a guy.
Goalie would argue, but I wouldn't.
But here's a guy who's been to a Super Bowl, right? And I keep hearing people tell me, oh, he doesn't have any skill. Come on, look at the people that played the quarterback position as starters or backups. And I keep hearing,
dare you criticize Nathan Peterman like that?
No, but I keep hearing, oh, the distraction. His teammates are going to have to answer questions. Hey, how about if I'm a Cleveland Brown and I got to answer the questions as to, hey, there's a video here on my phone,
right,
that shows the running back beating the daylights out of a woman.
Care to comment, Baker?
I mean, come on. Yeah, come on. I just, that's why I don't want to hear the distraction stuff. I just think that clearly we know why Colin Kaepernick is not in the league, and it has nothing to do with the fact that a team doesn't think he's you're telling me 32 teams feel that this guy can't help them win.
They can't be on their roster based on the quality of quarterback or how bad the quarterbacks are who are on NFL rosters. 224 says, you don't settle and stop fighting the fight unless you just want money. I don't see this as Colin Kaepernick selling out, because I don't think that the collusion case has much to do.
It's separate.
And that he took. And right. I think those are two things that are very easy to confuse but important to separate. I don't think that that's the case. I don't think he's a sellout. We will talk to Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports, who wrote a great column after Espo's update. He's Zach Zabin in for Mike Mulligan. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.